Now, this summer, you can catch more female sport on your screens than ever before. We had Netball's Fast Five series, which aired in prime time over the weekend. And in recent days, the W League has announced that, that's the women's soccer, has announced that the upcoming season will be picked up by American broadcaster ESPN. That is huge, huge news. Now, also, our women's cricketers, they're also gearing up for the Big Bash, which will see a standalone women's match broadcast on a primary channel of a commercial free-to-air network for the first time. What do all these words mean? Basically, it means a lot more people are going to get the chance to see female cricket. It's brilliant stuff. But even with all those eyes on the screen and bums in seats, our female athletes are still fighting for professionalism. Our producer, Lucy Rayner, took a look at what's being done and what's still left to do to fight for gender equality in sport.
There's certainly a buzz around women's sport. The Lendlease Breakers, our New South Wales women's domestic cricket team, are a recent example of how that buzz can translate into a real step towards equality. A sponsorship deal announced last month allows each player to earn the minimum wage on contract as fully professional sportswomen. I spoke to their captain, international cricketer Alex Blackwell, about what pumping money into women's sport can mean.
When you're an amateur athlete and you're putting in all those hours and you're balancing, whether it be study, work, supporting yourself, it does take its toll. And I think what you see is women leave their sport prematurely before they're actually the best athletes that they could be. And since the introduction of contracts into cricket, I've seen that women have been able to stay in the game a little longer. Those financial pressures aren't taking their toll as much, and there's incentive to stay in the game, and it's more enjoyable when you've got a better balance. It's definitely more enjoyable, and I think my career's been extended because of the introduction of contracts. Now, I don't play because of the money. Yeah. I've played longer because it's become more enjoyable. I've got a much better balance, and we're playing more cricket as well. So there's a tipping point where if we're asked to play more cricket, you have to start paying, because it's very hard to hold down a job. It's a very unique employer that can, have you part-time and also, be happy with your leave when you're away for 5 to 7 weeks on tour. If our athletes would like to be full-time cricketers, they can afford to be full-time cricketers now. Through the partnership between Lendlease and Cricket New South Wales, they've shown what a genuine sponsorship deal can do. It can create a domestic sporting team into a full-time professional team overnight. What we're hopeful in sport is that we achieve genuine gender equality, so you're paid for the work that you do equally, whether you're a man or a woman. So we're not there yet in cricket, but there's been wonderful progress. And our sport is becoming professional right now. The men's game has been professional for many years, but talk to some of my idols like Simon Kadic, and his first paycheck was a couple of grand. Yeah. So and that's within one generation, really. So things change very quickly. I'm a professional cricketer. Didn't think that would happen in my career. So who knows? I'm hopeful to play for a few more years, and who knows what's going to happen in the next few years. I think there's such momentum at the moment. So many more sponsors wanting to be involved in women's sport and sports who have genuine gender equality as their priority. The sponsors are going to be attracted to those sports.
Susan Horwitz is a director of Sport New South Wales and former president of Women's Sport New South Wales, and she says support for women like Alex at the top of their game can come down to whether or not an organisation is willing to change.
One of the things we're doing is in leadership, and it always starts at the top. If the person at the top isn't one who is really wanting to increase gender diversity, it's not going to happen. And often, in corporate life and in sporting organisations, you can talk the walk, or you can actually, you have to walk the talk, and sometimes you can't just talk the talk. And often it's sometimes I think a number of leaders think it's easier than it is, because you have to bring the whole organisation with you. And there are some real successes. I mean, there's the Male Champions of Change, and there are some now sporting leaders who are CEOs who are also committed to that as well. But it does take time because you have to bring the whole organisation with you. But I'm seeing change. I'm definitely seeing change. But there's still a long way to go because when you look at the players, apart from the women within the sporting organisation, but when you look at the players, when you find that there are some CEOs of sporting organisations that think it's perfectly fine for a professional woman to be paid less than the minimum wage, I mean, the fact that someone can feel confident to say, oh, well, they'll be paid $35,000, which is the minimum wage, that's not good enough. I think any person who is, man or woman, who is a CEO of a national or a state organisation can never rest on the laurels that you're paying women a minimum wage, barely a women minimum wage, whereas other organisations, you know, how embarrassed would they be if that were the case in corporate life? But there's been some big changes just over the last year. Mm. I think netball and cricket have really embraced it and have worked hard over the years. It hasn't just suddenly happened, but their players are earning what I think is reasonable money. I think some of the other sports are struggling to do that. I think the new AFL Women's League, I know that even one of their CEOs was worried that, you know, at the moment they're going to be paid $5,000 for a season, which is nothing, and acknowledging that that's unacceptable. So that's encouraging that the CEO acknowledges that, but how long will it take for that person to be able to change that situation?
Success stories like the Lendlease Breakers keep the ball rolling in the right direction, but it looks like there's still a long way to go. Watch this space.
Yes, and now I'm joined in the studio by Lucy, who filed that report. Lucy, good morning.
Morning.
Now, what do you think needs to be done? What's the next step in tackling this gap between the men and women in sport, and particularly in relation to getting paid?
I think both our interviewees there raised an interesting point in that when we're presented with female sport, it's just as entertaining as male sport, and we're just as receptive to it as viewers. So I think it's really about the networks taking that risk to put it in prime time, and because that means more sponsors because they're getting value for their money, so that means more money down to the players. But it turns out it's not too much of a risk at all, because if we look at what's been happening in the last couple of years and just in the last few months, we're watching it. Mm. So, you know, it's exciting that there's a market there.
Absolutely. Now, all I can say is I need to encourage everyone to get out and either, if cricket's your thing, go and watch the Southern Stars play. They're very exciting, as you're saying, to watch. Go and watch the W League, if soccer's your thing, the netball, whatever it is. Go out there and support these female athletes, and as a result, they will get paid. Easy as that. Lucy, thank you so much.
Thank you.